Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, bless the cheerful giver. Bless everyone who tithed, Lord. Bless everyone, Lord, and expand that territory. Lord, put the blessing upon them. Put your favor upon them, Father. And may you, Lord, help us to understand what you want to say from your word, Father. Lord, we believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Father, today we want to take a hold of your truth. We want to take a hold of your grace. And we want to grow in our faith. We want to trust you more. Lord, you say that without faith, it's impossible to please you. Therefore, today, may your word change our heart to be the people of faith. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In the next few weeks, we would like to talk about laying on of hands. The Lord prompts me to really share this message because it's something that very foundational, but many Christians don't understand. In fact, God has his way to really bless his people. God has his ways to really bring things from heaven to give to his children. There's many ways. Fellowship, being in the church, reading the Bible, and laying on of hands is one of the ways that God uses in the body of Christ or in the local churches to bless his people and to bring the things from heaven into our life. You know that heaven is real. And God has every good things in heaven that he can give to us. But we need to learn how to receive so that we will be like Abraham. We receive the blessing and then we can bless other people. We can bless the nations. How can I go and bless another nation if I am poor, if I'm sick, if I don't have the anointing? We need to get everything from heaven as much as we can so that we can go out and bless other people. Amen. Laying on of hand is very foundational principle of the doctrine of Christ. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. You see, these six things are foundations of the doctrine of Christ. What are they? Repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. There are six foundations that every Christian should know. This is A, B, C, not X, Y, Z. But unfortunately, many Christians don't even know A, B, C. They just go to church and learn how to do this and how to do that, but they don't understand repentance. They don't understand about faith, the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. In these few Sundays, we're going to learn about the laying on of hands in detail. Today, just introduction. So from now on, when you get lay hand on, or when you lay hand on somebody else, you know what you're doing. And when you lay hand, you do it out of faith, not out of traditions, not out of rituals, religious rituals. Or when you get lay hand on, you learn how to receive by faith. The truth in the Bible build our foundation and build our faith to do whatever we need to do in the spiritual life. Amen. So I believe that this is one of the very important teaching in the church that we need to lay down foundation in the church as soon as possible. What is the laying on of hand? Laying on of hand means an act of somebody places the hand on another person for some spiritual purposes. We're talking about spiritual thing here. We are not talking about physical thing. We're talking about spiritual purposes. And many times that laying on of hand is accompanied by prayer, maybe pray for that person, or by commanding or demanding or speaking the blessing. If you notice, when Jesus lay hand on the woman with back problem, he lay hand and he say, heal, straighten your back. So he speak
the blessing. He speaks the healing into the situation. The same thing, you can lay hand and speak the blessing and speak healing and power of God upon the person who received the laying on of hand. Not only that, sometimes can be followed by prophetic utterance or prophetic words. You lay hand and prophesy. And we're going to see that in detail in the next few Sundays that we're going to learn about this issue. Amen. And even in the world, outside the Christian church, laying on of hand has been practiced by human beings. In some culture, when two persons who are friends meet together, they shake hands, they tap on each other's shoulder to show friendship, to show acceptance, to show pleasure of meeting each other. And sometimes when children get sick, the mother will put the hand on the forehead or the brow and then comfort and show love and feel the temperature. So laying on of hand, the touching, it's to show care, to show friendship, to show love to one another. It's a human way of showing love to one another. So it's practiced even outside the church. And you can see in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6 here, that there are three main purposes of laying on of hand in the Christian church. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Talking about the fire, talking about the gift, but by the laying on of hand, talking about laying on of hand of ordination or appointment. So in conclusion, this scripture tells us that there are three main spiritual purposes of laying on of hand in general. And we're going to talk in detail later on about each one. The first purpose is this. The person laying on of hands may thereby transmit. Everyone say transmit. Transfer. Impart. What? Spiritual blessing and power and authority from heaven to the one upon whom hands are laid. Everyone say transfer. Transfer the blessing from heaven into the person who received the laying on of hand. That's the first purpose. The second purpose, the person laying on of hand may thereby acknowledge publicly. Everyone say acknowledge. Acknowledge publicly some spiritual blessing or appointment or authority already received from God. It's done already. God already gave that person the anointing, the position, the office, or the calling. Receiving from God by the one upon whom the hand are laid. Okay? So the second thing is public acknowledgement. The first one, transferring the blessing. Number three, the person laying on of hand may thereby publicly commit that person whom the hand lay on to God for a special calling or a special task or ministry. For example, if you're called to go out to be a missionary in Uganda, you say, I'm called to be a missionary to Uganda. Then the church will come together and lay hand and publicly acknowledge the calling in your life and commit you to the hands of God. So that when you go to Uganda, you will see the miracles. You're going to see the grace of God upon your life. It's talking about committing that person to God. Amen. Now, before we talk in detail about the laying on of hands, today I'd like to talk about the word hands in the Bible. So today, introduction about hand. And then next time, we talk about the laying on of hand. There are three words in the Bible that means hand. There are two words in the Hebrew language. The first one is yod, which is used 1,615 times in the Old Testament, which means hand. And we're going to look at the Bible in a few minutes here. When the Bible used the word yod, what it means, what is the implication? The second word is kaf, which is used 192 times in the Old Testament, which means the palm of the hand. So that's the second word in Hebrew language. The third word, which is Greek language, is used in the New Testament, is the word kaire. It's used 179 times in the New Testament, which means by the help or agency of anyone. By the help, the hand come and help you. Now we're going to look at the word hand in the Bible. When anytime the Bible uses the word hand, there is some implication. There's a meaning. So we're going to look at the word, the meaning of the word hand. So you understand when we deal with the word hand, when they lay hand on, what does it mean? The first meaning of the word hand in the Bible, are you following me? This is more like a teaching, not preaching. The first one means God's judgment. How many people has been judged by God? If you don't raise hand, I can raise hand. I have been judged by God before. I remember when I was a young doctor, young neurosurgeon, I was a little bit goofy to do something not very honest. At that time, I was a young believer, and I never forgot God really spanked me. God really gave me a hard time. I woke up and repented, and I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to corrupt the time of the government. I don't want to steal the time from the government. I'm going to be faithful to work for the government. I remember God really spanked me. He used his hand and spanked me. He judged me so that I can wake up and will not live in sin anymore. So God's hand, the hand also means judgment. But we need to know that God can use his hand to spank us too. The word hand in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle, in the field, on the horses, and on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, and a very severe pestilence. God was speaking to Pharaoh. God said that if you did not obey me, if you play game with me, if you rebel against me, I'm going to judge Egypt. I'm going to put my hand upon your animals, your people, and you're going to be in trouble. So the hand of the Lord will be on your country, which means judgment will come. Amen. As we talked about tithe a while ago, I remember one time I went to Pastor Cornish's house, and he told me that one of his students never tithed to God for many years. He just cheated God. This is a true story of this, not medical student, Bible school student. And he said that he cheated God for many years, and one day he got afflicted by liver cancer, and he has to be in the hospital. Eventually, one day, he cried out to God. He said, God, I'm sorry. I was rebelling against you. I steal money from you. Could you please give me one more chance and heal me? And the man was healed from liver cancer. He told Pastor Cornish that he counted the day that he was lying in the hospital. It's exactly the same amount of those Sundays that he never tied to God. So God get it back. God's hand is upon him. God touch him. The judgment of God comes. Thank God, God is a very slow to anger. God is very merciful God. When you mess up, when you rebel against God, you really, you know, just stubborn, just rebellious against God. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the pastor says. I'm going to do what I want to do. He may be very slow. He may give us many, many years to repent. But I tell you, when the hand of God come upon us in judgment, it can be very bad. So very trouble. I don't want that. You can see the hand of God in the Bible all the time. When God judged Abraham, that Abraham took Hagar to be his another wife. We can see that God judged people. How many people want God's hand to spank you? I don't want God's hand to spank me. So obey God. The best is that we obey God right away, repent right away, don't play game with God. Look at another scripture in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 15. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. This is talking about the children of Israel. That generation that walked out of Egypt, they did not obey God. They grumbled, they complained, they said, I want to go back to Egypt. They complained against Moses. Complain, 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 grumble, grumble, grumble. And eventually God said, okay, you asked me, you crying out to me to deliver you from Egypt. I gave you manna from heaven. I gave you water from the rock. I saved you from snake bites. I performed miracles, split the Red Sea for you, but you keep complaining. Okay, my hand gonna come against you to destroy you in the wilderness. They did not enter the promised land. They missed the promised land because they had a bad attitude. So you can see here that if we don't repent, we can face the hand of God. But it's not the hand of blessing, it's the hand of spanking, the hand of judgment. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. As the Lord has said, and as the Lord has warned to them, they were greatly distressed. I don't like that situation. Greatly distressed. What happened here? When Joshua was still alive, the children of Israel were obedient to the Lord. They remembered the grace of God. God delivered them from Egypt. They served the Lord in that generation. And when Joshua turned 110 years old, he died. And the next generation forgot about the grace of God. They forgot about the goodness of God that delivered them from Egypt. And they began to worship idols. They began to rebel against God. So God said, because you rebel against me, my hand is against you for calamity. So you can see that the hand of God come to judge those who rebel against him. And I pray that no members in this church will walk in that direction. We will be obedient people. Amen. We will serve the Lord. We will be like Joshua's generation. I, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will obey the Lord. We will not go against God. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes God tests us. The longer I walk with God, the more I learn that God's ways are not my ways. I think the key is this. You listen to God and see what God really wants you to do. This morning I woke up and God told me this. Tell the congregation this way. You listen to God and make sure that you do whatever God tells you to do. Definitely it should be biblical. Whatever God calls you to do. If you hear the voice go out and rob the bank, you don't do it because it's not in the Bible. Okay? For example, when God called me to start this church, no matter what storm, no matter what happened, I have to stick to what God called me to do. That is obedience. Obedience in the good time and obedience in the bad times. You obey the Lord, because if I pull myself out and start to rebel against God, oh God, I don't like this situation. Too much headache. I'm going to quit. Then I may get the hands of God upon me. God may spank me. So we need to obey completely. Obey even if we don't understand. And obey even if we don't see the future, what's going to happen. It's about walking with God step by step, obeying the Lord. Amen. So that's what I want to do. I'm going to obey God, whatever He tells me to do. Right now, He tells me to go and spread the fire of revival in Thailand. I do it. I obey Him. No matter how hard, no matter how tired, I'm going to go and spread the fire. If God tells me to one day go to another country, I will go there. I'm going to obey the Lord. I don't want to be the horse that runs before God. I don't want to be a donkey that God had to pull my face and come here, come here, come here. I'm going to obey and follow the Lord every single day. So everyone say God's judgment. Now we move on to the second one, the hand. What is the meaning of hand? In Exodus 14:31, and when the Israelites saw the great power, the word power here in the Hebrew language is yod or hand, the Lord displayed against the Egyptians. The people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 12. You may not have it up there, but I read for you. And in all that mighty hand, the word mighty hand is yod too, the word hand. And in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So it's the second meaning of the word hand in the Bible. It is power and might. So every time we talk about hand, it's talk about the power of God. Amen? So you need to understand the symbolism of the word hand. God stretched His hand. The hand come with power. When we lay hand, the power come together with the hand. The power from heaven, the dominion, the might, mighty power of God come with the hand of God. Amen? Everyone say the word power. I like the power of God. Our God is not just a piece of paper. Our God is not just abstract. He has power. He demonstrates His power. Actually, last Saturday, God demonstrated His power when we were having a meeting. You know, this is one of the things that God spoke to me last Saturday. He said that, you remember, son, Hebrews chapter 25? I said, yes, I remember. He said, don't miss the meeting. And He even talked to me that I put that scripture not just for the people in the early church time, but for today in year 2007. Because God knows that nowadays we have iPod, we have podcasts, we have internet, we have all this CD, we have TV program, we have all this channel that you can watch in the TV, and you can watch the preaching in the internet. And God knows that we have a tendency just to take it easy, to stay home and watch the program. But God says, don't miss the meeting. There is a power about coming together. There's a power of being together we call corporate meeting. And in the corporate meeting, the power of God, the hand of God is moving. God loves to see people set aside time and show that they are hungry to come together as a group of people, as a church, to come and seek God. Last Saturday, even though Pastor Da was a little bit sick, and have shoulder pain. She had shoulder pain for 6 months. I prayed for her many times. We intercede for her. Nothing happened, but God has His own timing. God healed her already 2,000 years ago. But last Saturday, she decided to come and show up in a meeting at the end, in the afternoon, when she stood up. Pastor Peter Wins prayed for the healing. And she didn't even notice. She went back home. And you know what happened? She felt, my shoulder pain, both sides, have gone away from me. Completely gone and never come back again. Our God is a God of power. Amen. He can heal. Amen. He can heal the sick. He can touch you and He can bring power to your life by His hand. That's why I like the issue of the laying on of hand, because we talk about power. Oh, I enjoy so much every time I went to Thailand. When I start to touch people and I saw demons come out from people, I see demons crying and they just say, don't bother me. And oh, I enjoy to see the hand of God touch people and the demon come out from people, because I see the power of God move in the life of people. Amen. I like to see the demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. Actually, lately I pray like this. I pray from the scripture. The scripture say, God performed unusual miracles through the hand of Paul. And I say, God, that scripture is for me. I want the unusual miracle to be done by my hand and your hand at the church. When we pray for people on the street, when you go out and witness people, homeless people, you lay hand, demons come out of them and they get saved. And you see healing and signs and wonders, because our God is a God of power. Unlimited power. Everyone say, unlimited power. Many times when I look up to heaven in my spirit, God spoke to me that, do you know, son, my power is unlimited. My love is unlimited. My wisdom is unlimited. My wealth is unlimited. My joy is unlimited. My grace is unlimited. You just keep drawing and drawing and drawing for me, because it's unlimited. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's number two, power and might. Look at number three. Look at the scripture, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 21, verse 8, talking about the days of the king Jehoram. In his days, the Ammonite revolted against Judah authority. The word authority here in the Hebrew language is the word yard or hand, and made a king over themselves. In John chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says, the Father loved the Son, meaning Jesus, and has given all things into His hand. His hand here is the word care, which means hand in the Greek language. So the third meaning of the word hand is dominion or authority. You have dominion over something. You have authority over something. God gives authority to the Lord Jesus fully. This king, Jehoram, was talking about Edomite, tried to come against authority of the Judah. You see, you can see that the word hand means authority. That's why when Jacob lay hand on his grandson, he switched hand to show that the right hand has more authority than the left hand. When Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father, it's a position of authority. Amen. Everyone say authority and dominion. So the hand of God come with authority and dominion. Not only that, the word hand in the Bible also talk about consecration, setting apart. In Leviticus chapter 8 verse 22, and he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. Everyone say consecration. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. At that time, God told Moses to set apart Aaron and his son to be the priests in the tabernacle. They were set apart to serve the Lord, consecrated themselves to serve the Lord. So the same thing, when they do that, they have to put their hand on the ram to pass the sin upon that ram and say that I set apart to serve the Lord. I want to be a holy priest, pure heart, pure hand. Laying on of hand, talk about setting apart. God picked some of you, set you apart to do some special work. Amen. God set apart some of you to do some work for him. So God used his hand to pick you up and set you apart to do the work of God. Amen. Number five, not only power, not only dominion, not only consecration, not only God's judgment, but number five, talking about God's provision and protection. When God moves his hand upon you, it will come with God's, with the provision of heaven. It will come with protection. God's hand will protect you. In the book of Psalm, chapter 145, verse 16, you open your hands, your is capital Y, God's hand, and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So when God's hand is upon somebody, satisfaction will come. Provision will come. Protection will come. I already see in my own life. In fact, I mentioned to you many times already that I took off from my work almost 2 months a year. I go to Thailand, I travel to churches, so I work less than my colleagues. They work a lot more than me. They took off maybe 1 week a year to go vacation. But even though I took off a lot, but God's provision is upon my life. My income is about double of my friend, even though I work less than them. God actually is so good. God's provision. I told you this story a long time ago, that when I became a new believer, I moved to that city named Chanthaburi. And all the doctors in that city say, yeah, there's no way you can compete with us. You are a young doctor. We have been here for 15 years. Our clinic is full. You cannot have any patients around here. You're just a young doctor. And I look my eyes up to heaven and say, God, you are my provider. You will take care of me. You will look after me financially. You are my provider. Your hand is upon my life. I served you actually at that time. I was a pastor of a Baptist church. Your provision is going to be upon my life. Your hand will be upon my life. And you know what God did? God sent a woman from a small town, I believe named Tamai. That town, this lady is about 43 years old, came in paralyzed from the chest down, could not walk. The sister had to lift her up to come into my office. They don't have wheelchair at that time. Even in that small town, they don't have money. So they have to, four people have to lift her up. And she's not a small lady. Came into my office, put on the stretcher. And I look at her. She said she went to every doctor in Bangkok. She went to witch doctor, monk doctor, anything. She said she went to everywhere. And everybody say, even all the doctors in that city. And they say, you have multiple sclerosis. You're going to be paralyzed forever for the rest of your life. And this lady was a very famous market woman. She was in the market selling things. Everyone know her in town. So I look at her and God spoke to me. Take her into the hospital right now and do one x-ray. So I took her in, put the dye inside her back, run up the dye. And God said, don't stop, go up to here. All the x-ray that was done in Bangkok never come up to here. I found a small tumor about this size. Up here, in the junction between the upper thoracic area, upper back. That day, I took the tumor out. 3 months later, she was running around in the market, jump up and down and say, I'm healed. You know what happened after that? My name. I am a supernatural doctor. I am a miracle worker doctor. The whole town know about Dr. Varun. My clinic was packed. Everyone think that if they come to me, they're going to be healed. No matter what, even psychiatric disease and headache, I don't treat psychiatry. I mean, even crazy people come in, psychiatric patient, and they say, can you heal us too? Actually, one lady got healed. One lady came in with schizophrenia, and she has all the hallucination. I say, I don't know how to treat you. I'm not a psychiatrist, but Jesus can heal you. So I lay hand on her and pray for her. She got healed. Praise God. So the real doctor is up there, not me. God, just give me wisdom on how to take care. You know, the same thing in Seattle here. God is so good. He knows I serve God so much, I don't have time to promote myself. I don't even do some website for my medical practice. But you know what? One day, this might be talking about God's provision, God's hand upon your life. If God's hand is upon your life, no one can come against you. No one can stop you. I remember a few years ago, 4 years ago, a Christian lady from Renton came to see me. I operated on her, and she did quite okay. You know, she didn't get worse. She got better a little bit. And she went back to her rheumatologist, and she said, if you're going to send patients, send to this guy. He's good. The rheumatologist called me up and said, I don't know about you, but I heard that you are good. Can I send a patient to you? And I say, yes. What kind of patient? He said, fibromyalgia. I say, what? Fibromyalgia? No, I'm not taking care of fibromyalgia. This is a rheumatological disease. He said, slow down. I find out that some of these patients need surgery. Right then, I heard the voice of God inside me. Take that offer. Okay, send the patient to me. The first patient show up. She's about 45 years old, came in, no makeup, looked very sad, looked very depressed, pain for 15 years. I look at her x-ray. I operated on her. 2 weeks later, she came in with makeup, smile, stopped all the pain pill. She say, you really fixed my problem. I look at her and say, oh, he is right. I'm wrong. And since that day, I saw all these patients come in from all over the city. God provided me with the patients. And actually, I have to tell you one truth, that one of the reasons it's very hard for me to stop the practice, because there are only three center in America that know about this. Even University of Washington doesn't know how to treat this patient. Only three neurosurgeons in the whole U.S. know about, and because all of neurosurgeons don't believe this, when I told my friend, they laughed at me, you crazy, this is stupid. But I just smile and say, that's okay, I can monopoly for a while. So I can use this money to do the Great Commission. If you don't believe me, that's okay. I can be monopolized for a while to do this kind of surgery. Amen. God is a God of provision. If His hand is upon you, He will satisfy your need. In Psalm chapter 104, verse 28, what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. I like God to open His hand for me. Amen. Hallelujah. When God opens His hand, the blessing will come. The provision will come. So live your life to please God. Live your life that God will smile at you and say, bless you, open His hand upon you all the time. One thing in my life that I want to do is that I don't want to make God unhappy with me. I don't want God to be grieved because of my life. I want God to be happy. I want God to smile and say, good job. You obey me. You listen to me. I will bless you. I'll put my hand upon you and bless you. Amen. Number six, not only provision and protection. The Bible talk about the hand. Actually, there are so many scriptures in the Bible talk about this. The hand of the Lord also in the Bible mean the presence, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God in your life, or the anointing. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 44 to 46. Are you okay? Okay. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with the clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then, listen carefully, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Normally, a king has the best kind of horse in the whole country. So those horses must be very fast, very strong. But the Bible says, when the hands of the Lord came upon Elijah, he ran faster than the horse. So the anointing came upon him, and he ran so fast ahead of the horse. Have you ever seen that? People get the anointing upon them, and they ran around the church. Amen. When the anointing came upon Samson, he was able to kill lion. He was able to lift up big, you know, pole, whatever. He was so strong. The hand of the Lord means the presence or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at another scripture here. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Came upon. At that time, Jehoshaphat really wanted to seek the way, the direction of God. And Jehoshaphat called the prophet Elisha to come in and prophesy and give direction. Because King Jehoshaphat was a godly man, Elisha said, okay, I'll come. But Elisha knew the principle that in order to bring the anointing, in order to bring the presence of God, they need to worship God first. You know, worship brings the anointing. You remember the Bible said God enthroned the presence of Israel. So when we worship God, the anointing come. They call the musician, start to worship. Then the hand of the Lord was upon Elisha and he began to prophesy. The hand of the Lord means the presence of God or the anointing. Let me quote some other scripture so you can see. It's not in the PowerPoint there. I give you example. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Sheba. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. The hand of the Lord means the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong on me. I don't know if you have this experience or not. Sometimes when the anointing comes to you on you so strong, you feel like a cloak or something wrapped around you. You feel that the hand of God come upon you. Many times when the Holy Spirit touched me, I sense on my skin that the hand of God is upon me. I remember one time God's hand touched Pastor Da's leg and stretch her leg out. And some people give me testimony that they have a back pain, leg pain, and they get touched by God by the laying on of hand, and the hand of God come and touch them and do the chiropractic treatment. Pop, 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 pop. When they come up from the floor, they got healed. God's hand, the presence of the Holy Spirit can come and pull something out from your life, do something upon you. Amen. I want the hand of God upon me all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I come to the point of my life, I share this all the time, that I cannot serve God without the presence of God. I cannot serve God without the anointing, without the hand of God upon me. Because if I do that, it's going to be the work of the flesh anyway. It's going to be a dead work. It's going to be like Ishmael, not Isaac. I want to produce Isaac. I want to produce the eternal outcome. The only way to produce the eternal outcome is to have the hand of the Lord upon you. I tell you the truth right now. Just half an hour ago when I was standing there, I did not know what to say. Because my note is only scripture. I don't have any word in here. Just scripture. And I said, God, I don't know what to say today. Help me. But when I got up on the stage, the hand of the Lord is upon me. He came at the right time to help me to preach. I'm preaching when the hand of the Lord is upon me. You understand what I mean? The same thing you do, everything in your life. God, anointing come upon me right now. I need your help. I need you to speak through me. I need you to pass through me, work through me, work in me and work through me. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the hand of God. Amen. And last one, not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, of the tangible anointing. We talk about God's help and support. When the hand of God come upon somebody, He will help that person. He will support that person. Look at Ezra, chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests. You can see that Ezra received favor. He received support from the king. He received help supernaturally, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Why the king has shown mercy to Ezra? Because the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. You get favor of God when the hand of God is upon you. You make a business deal. You're going to go do something. The hand of God is upon you. You get a special deal. God support you in that deal. God help you in your education. Amen. That's why we need to love to have that presence of God, the hand of God upon us. Look at another scripture. Ezra chapter 7 verse 28 say, has extended mercy to me, mean God has extended mercy to me, before the king and his counselor, before all the king's mighty princes. So I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. Can you say like that in your life? Can you become a Christian or disciple of Jesus and say like that? You know, because the hand of the Lord is upon me. I remember the final day of my training at Harborview Hospital, University of Washington. They have a farewell party for me. All the nurses in the operating room that were standing there in the OR or operating room lounge. And one Christian nurse stand up and say, I noticed that all these 7 years, this man has less complication and less death than any other doctor because the hand of the Lord is upon him. And it's true. When I was at Harborview, less death, less complication. God supported my job. God supported my surgery. Amen. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Amen. How many people can say like that? The hand of the Lord is upon me. We should live the life that way. God's supporting you. God's hand is upon you. And I want to encourage you. You just love the Lord with all your heart. You just follow Him. Obey Him. Do whatever He says. Be an obedient children. Be obedient disciple. Love God. Serve God. Seek the kingdom of God first. God come first in your life. Amen. Amen. Seek God first. No matter what you do, walk in love. No matter what happened around you, just walk in love. Love God. Love people. Amen. Yesterday I was invited to have dinner with a couple that I haven't met for 3 years. They go to another church. And I was sitting there, look at their face and say, I love this couple. I just walk in love. Because God is love. Love to give. And just bless people. If you live your life in the same way Jesus walked, Jesus love, Jesus give, Jesus help people, Jesus seek the kingdom of God first, you follow His footstep. The hand of the Lord gonna be upon you. Because God will favor you. God say, hey, this guy is good. This girl is good. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to support him. I'm going to help him. Amen. It's a decision we make each day to love the Lord with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to live our life for the Great Commission, to live our life for the gospel and seek the Lord first. No matter what other people do, you just keep on walking with the Lord in love and in obedience and in the fear of God. Don't let other people around you stop you from doing that. The devil may send people to come and bug you and make you feel bad, feel discouraged. Just don't look at those things. Just look straight forward and just follow God and walk in love, walk in obedience, and walk in the fear of God all the days of your life. I make that decision. I don't let things around me to stop me. People do things around me that doesn't matter. I'm going to keep walking with God. I'm going to keep following God. It doesn't matter what other people do. I am accountable to God of my Christian walk. I need to obey God no matter what. Amen. And the hand of the Lord is going to be upon you. And you know what happened? You're going to live a supernatural life. You're going to live a life in the high plane. Because God is with you. Amen. You command things, things are going to happen. You're going to be people of faith. The favor of God will be around you. Lately, God teach me how to pray for my children. God said that in the morning prayer that the faith and the favor and the grace of God will wrap around my children. Oh, I pray like that in the morning. I say, God, may the faith, the grace, and the favor of God wrap around Tanida, Brendan, and Joy, and Paul, and all the spiritual children and the members of this church in Jesus' mighty name. Wrap around them. May the hand of God be upon them. Amen. Hallelujah. You learn something today? Amen. So next week, we're going to learn more about the laying on of hand. Today, we learn about hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I appreciate Pastor Peter Wins last Sunday that he laid hand on people. No, God showed me last Sunday that when Jesus was walking on earth, he did not just preach, but he transferred the anointing. He touched people. Do you know that Jesus has a touching ministry? If you read the full gospel carefully, Jesus never come, kneel down, and pray to the Father for 1 hour for somebody. No. He prayed to the Father in relationship, in fellowship. But when he deal with the problem of people's life, he come and he touch and he speak blessing. He didn't sit there and pray for people for 15 minutes. He just say, heal, bless. That's the way Jesus ministered. And Jesus said in the Bible that the work that I do, you shall do also. And greater work than this you shall do. I know that in the Christian world, in the Christian church, we get used to singing three songs, fast song, singing three slow songs, stand up and sit down, giving offering, listen to sermon half an hour, and then go home. But if you are in the time of Jesus, he did not do that. He lay hands, he touched people, he cast out demons, he healed the sick, because he loved people. Is that right? Amen. So, I want to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. In fact, when I say this, if you don't understand me, please forgive me. Yesterday, God was speaking to me that, son, if you don't move in the file of God, your members will be bombarded and tortured by demons. You need to move in the fire to set the captive free. I don't want my church to be full. I mean God church, not my church. God church to be full of demonic things. The Bible says that we cast out demons only for Christians. We don't cast out demons for non-believers because seven more worse going to come back. The fire of God come. We lay hand to touch people with the fire of God. So that people will be set free. Maybe little demon of sleeping too much. Maybe little demon of watching TV too much. It doesn't have to be criminal demon. Some little one that come and try to steal you from God. Amen. So I want to cleanse the church. I want to make sure the church is clean. That's why we move in the fire of God. How many people have been blessed by being touched by the fire of God? Amen. How many people believe that the hand of God still want to touch you and bless you today? So when I pray for you, lay hand for some of you today, remember this, it's not about my hand, it's the hand of God. And God wants to impart. God wants to impart blessings, healing, gift, grace, wisdom, power, the good things from heaven by the laying on of hands. Amen. If I don't lay hand, I steal the blessing from you. I shut off the blessing from you. Laying on of hand is one of the ways that God used to bless people in the church. Amen. So that's why we lay hand on people. And that's why Jesus has a touching ministry. He lay hand all the time. He lay hand on Peter's mother-in-law. He lay hand on the woman. He lay hand on the man with demon possessed. He lay hand on not only that, he spit too. Wow, thank God the pastor haven't used that one yet. Spit and put on your eyes. I think I will wipe out this church very fast. People will not come back. The church will be empty soon. Unless God told me to do that. God, should I do that? Spit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you understand. And not only that, you get lay hand on Sunday, you go out and lay hand on people out there in the hospital. You go to your friend in the school, they get sick, lay hand on them, in Jesus' name, heal. Before you go out, lay hand, a pastor say like this, empty hand lay on the empty head. Before you can lay hand on people, you need to be full. If empty hand lay on the empty head, nothing can happen. You need to be full. That's why on Sunday you come to be filled. And so you can go out and save the lost soul out there. Help people. Lay hand on the sick. Bless people around you. When they get into trouble, you lay hand and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak blessing to you. Impart the blessing upon people's life. And they will see the grace of God. Amen. God tells us to lay hand. Laying on of hand is not only for the pastor, but on the Sunday, yes, I need to do this to help all of you. But you have been authorized to lay hand too. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 16, you can lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. Not only me, you can lay hand. Amen. You can lay hand on your children. You can lay hand on your loved ones. I lay hand on my wife all the time. Not just romantic, but lay hand spiritually. There are two kinds of laying on of hand to my wife. Romantic and spiritual laying on of hand. She did the same thing to me. She lay hand for me. She prayed for me. Amen. don't have imagination, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.